Good evening. I just want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor for allowing me this time to preach, and I want to thank my family for coming to support me, and thank you all for coming. If you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges 14, starting at verse 1. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, or among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight and the message that you gave me. Help me to be able to get your word out that you've laid upon my heart, and just minister to each and every need in this place. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The title tonight is Sweet Things Out of Rotten Situations. We have all had some pretty rotten situations in our lives and at one time or another. At the time we're going through it, it feels as though we won't make it, but then we get through it. And we see that sweet things come from it. Once there was a little boy who saw a cocoon, and he was so anxious to help the butterfly emerge that he got a small pair of manicure scissors so that he could help cut the butterfly out. What he didn't realize is that it's through the struggle, the process of emerging from the cocoon on its own, that the butterfly gains the power to fly. It's the very struggle to push out of the cocoon that gives its wings their strength. Without that process, the butterfly isn't ready to fly or to soar. It's true for us also. In our struggles, we become stronger. We think we'll always be caterpillars crawling along the ground or bound in a cocoon, but one glorious day, we will soar. We need to turn our struggles and our pain into purpose. Dark, stormy times will come, but when they do, we must keep walking through the wind and the rain with our eyes fixed on Jesus. God is the ultimate creator and miracle worker. He will bring sweet things out of rotten situations. Some things we can learn about rotten situations are that God allows them, or he brings you to it. We can see this with Job. in Job chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand, power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. God asked Satan if he had considered Job. And then Satan said that Job didn't fear God for nothing, and mentions that Job's prosperity and hedge of protection. God told Satan that he could have... he had all power in his, had Job in his power, but he's not to lay a hand on his person. So Satan took his oxen, his donkeys, his servants, sheep, camels, sons and daughters, everything. And what was Job's response? He worshiped God. Verse 20 to 22. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. In chapter 2, once again, Satan comes, and God asks Satan again if he's considered Job. And he says that he still holds fast to his integrity. So he gives Satan permission to attack Job's health. So Satan does, and gets Job full of boils. And Job really experienced rotten situations that God allowed. But even when his wife told him to curse God and die, he was faithful. At the end of those rotten situations, God restored him even more than he had before. Job 42:10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. We will go through rotten situations, but God will restore us. Second, God will be with you through them. In Hebrews 13:5, God told us he would never leave us or forsake us. The Father of all lies will come in, though, and tell you that you're all alone, no one's there for you. And we need to listen to God, who's the Father of truth. He does not lie. In Exodus 33:12-23, Moses was told by God that God would be with him, but that wasn't enough for Moses. He wanted to see God. So God put him in the cleft of the rock, put his hand over him, and passed by and allowed him to see his glory. In Exodus 33:12-23. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that the nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." God was faithful and was with Moses through everything that he went through. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 5, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, 'Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you." God is telling us that no matter what we're going through, he will be right there with us. God says, "Fear not," a lot in his word. I've heard that it's one for every day of the year. So we need to listen and not fear. God allows it, and God brings you to it, but he also will bring you through it and bring victory. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "Temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." He will not only allow the things, but he will provide the escape and help you endure. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Down to 37. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present and things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that all things work together for good for those who are in Christ. So if God is for us, who can be against us? The New Living Translation says that we have overwhelming victory through Christ who loves us. Absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love. Satan will do everything in his power to get us to believe his lies, but the truth is in God's word. Nothing will separate us from him or his love. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We have the assurance that no matter what comes our way, we will overcome with God. Just as God was with Samson and gave him the ability to kill the lion, he will give you what you need to get through to victory. God will also bring friends or people to stand with you. Proverbs 18:24, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is always there for us when no one else is. He sticks closer than a brother. We have the best friend we could ever have in Jesus, and he will be right by our side through everything. Even in times when it feels like he's not, he's there because he has said he'd never leave or forsake us. Because God lives in us, we truly can do anything we need to do, but we are often defeated by our own wrong thinking. God, the best friend we can have, says we can, but if we think and say we can't, then we won't. And in Philippians 4:13, probably all can say it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, but all things. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So the paralytic had friends that wouldn't give up on getting him in to see Jesus for a healing. They got him up on the roof and tore off the roof and lowered him down so that Jesus could heal him. When Jesus comes in, weakness goes out. As I conclude tonight, we need to remember that dark, stormy times or rotten situations will come, but when they do, we must keep walking through the wind and the rain with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we will receive sweet things. In the dark is when his light can shine the brightest. Loss is a part of our lives, but it is in those times of darkness that God forges a new person. Just as the caterpillar must go into the darkness of the cocoon to become a butterfly, we often find that God's loving redemption is strongest in our most painful suffering. God is always looking for ways to transform us through our circumstances, if we'll just let him in. We must remember that through the struggle, God is building our wings so that we can soon emerge a new creation, stronger than before and able to fly. I have a little story to read. It's called Burdens. Why was my burden so heavy? I slammed the bedroom door and leaned against it. Is there no rest from this life? I wondered. I stumbled to my bed and dropped onto it, pressing my pillow around my ears to shut out the noise of my existence. "Oh God," I cried, "let me sleep. Let me sleep forever and never wake up." With a deep sob, I tried to will myself into oblivion, then welcomed the blackness that came over me. Light surrounded me as I regained consciousness. I focused on its source, the figure of a man standing before a cross. "My child," the person asked, "why did you want to come to me before I am ready to call you?" "Lord, I'm sorry. It's just that I can't go on. You see how hard it is for me. Look at this awful burden on my back. I simply can't carry it anymore." "But haven't I told you to cast all of your burdens upon me because I care for you? My yoke is easy and my burden is light." "I knew you would say that, but why does mine have to be so heavy?" "My child, everyone in the world has a burden. Perhaps you would like to try a different one." "I can do that." He pointed to several burdens lying at his feet. "You may try any of these." All of them seemed to be of equal size, but each one was labeled with a name. "There's Jones," I said. Joan was married to a wealthy businessman. She lived in a sprawling estate and dressed her three daughters in the prettiest designer clothes. Sometimes she drove me to church in her Cadillac when my car was broken. "Let me try that one. How difficult could her burden be?" I thought. The Lord removed my burden and placed Joan's on my shoulders. I sank to my knees beneath its weight. "Take it off," I said. "What makes it so heavy?" "Look inside." I untied the straps and opened the top. Inside was a figure of her mother-in-law, and when I lifted it out, it began to speak. "Joan, you'll never be good enough for my son," it began. "He never should have married you. You're a terrible mother to my grandchildren." I quickly placed the figure back in the pack and withdrew another. It was Donna, Joan's youngest daughter. Her head was bandaged from the surgery that had failed to resolve her epilepsy. A third figure was Joan's brother, addicted to drugs. He had been convicted of killing a police officer. "I see why her burden is so heavy, Lord. But she's always smiling and helping others. I didn't realize." "Would you like to try another?" he asked quietly. I tested several. Paula's felt heavy. She was raising four small boys without a father. Deborah's did too. A childhood of sexual abuse and a marriage of emotional abuse. When I came to Ruth's burden, I didn't even try. I knew that inside I would find arthritis, old age, a demanding full-time job, and a beloved husband in a nursing home. "They're all too heavy, Lord," I said. "Give back my own." As I lifted the familiar load once again, it seemed much lighter than the others. "Let's look inside," he said. I turned away, holding it close. "That's not a good idea," I said. "Why?" "There's a lot of junk in there." "Let me see." The gentle thunder of his voice compelled me. I opened my burden. He pulled out a brick. "Tell me about this one." "Lord, you know, it's money. We don't suffer like people in some countries or even the homeless here in America, but we have no insurance. And when the kids get sick, we can't always take them to the doctor. They've never been to a dentist, and I'm tired of dressing them in hand-me-downs. My child, I will supply all of your needs and your children's. I've given them healthy bodies. I will teach them that expensive clothing doesn't make a person valuable in my sight." Then he lifted out the figure of a small boy. "And this?" he asked. "Andrew," I hung my head, ashamed to call my son a burden. "But Lord, he's hyperactive. He's not quiet like the other two. He makes me so tired. He's always getting hurt, and someone is bound to think I abuse him. I yell at him all the time. Someday I may really hurt him." "My child," he said, "if you trust me, I will renew your strength. If you allow me to fill you with my spirit, I will give you patience." Then he took some pebbles from my burden. "Yes, Lord," I said with a sigh. "Those are small, but they're important. I hate my hair. It's thin, and I can't make it look nice. I can't afford to go to the beauty shop. I'm overweight and can't stay on a diet. I hate all my clothes. I hate the way I look." "My child, people look at your outward appearance, but I look at your heart. By my spirit, you can gain self-control to lose weight. but your beauty should not come from outward appearance. Instead, it should come from your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in my sight. My burden now seemed lighter than before. I guess I can handle it now, I said. There is more, he said. Hand me that last brick. Oh, you don't have to take that. I can handle it. My child, give it to me. Again, his voice compelled me. He reached out his hand, and for the first time, I saw the ugly wound. But Lord, this brick is so awful, so nasty, so... Lord, what happened to your hands? They're so scarred. No longer focused on my burden, I looked for the first time into his face. In his brow were ragged scars, as though someone had pressed thorns into his flesh. Lord, I whispered, what happened to you? His loving eyes reached into my soul. My child, you know. Hand me the brick. It belongs to me. I bought it. How? With my blood. But why, Lord? Because I have loved you with an everlasting love. Give it to me. I placed the filthy brick into his wounded palm. It contained all the dirt and evil of my life, my pride, my selfishness, the depression that constantly tormented me. He turned to the cross and hurled my brick into the pool of blood at its base. It hardly made a ripple. Now, my child, you need to go back. I will be with you always when you are troubled. Call to me and I will help you and show you things you cannot imagine now. Yes, Lord, I will call on you. I reached to pick up my burden. You may leave that here if you wish. You see all these burdens? They are the ones that others have left at my feet. Jones, Paulos, Deborah's, Ruth's. When you leave your burden here, I carry it with you. Remember, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I placed my burden with him, the light began to fade. Yet I heard him whisper, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A peace flooded my soul. Loss is a part of our lives, but it's in those times of darkness that God forges a new person, I'll say again. So, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask, are there times in your life that, like the person in this story, you don't want to live anymore? I know I was there earlier this year. My dad got COVID. I had back surgery. My dad passed away. I no sooner get back to work, and then my son gets hit in the head with a shot put. I literally said, God, I can't take anymore. Please take me home. This year has been full of some really rotten situations, but I can tell you that God's bringing sweetness out of them. Through my dad passing away, I've seen Zoe start using her gifts for God. So many times we go through things and feel like we can't take anymore, or that someone else is better off than we are. But we all have our own burdens and struggles to deal with. For some, it's past abuse, family situations, drugs. For others, self-pity or depression. I'm here to tell you that we can make it through everything with God's help. He can turn the most rotten situation into the sweetest thing, just as he did with the lion's carcass in Judges 14. God knows all about rotten situations. He created the earth and everything in it. And then people sinned, and he gave his one and only son to die for the sins of the world. That rotten situation turned sweet when Jesus rose from the grave, so that we can spend eternity with him when we accept him as our Savior. So now I want to give opportunity. If you're here tonight and you're dealing with rotten situations, to come forward and just lay them down on this altar before Jesus. Don't leave here taking them with you. Just allow him to bring something sweet out of it. Cast the fear of what people will think about you away, because that fear is from the devil. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.